This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Now, Kurt, I think I've hit your area of expertise here since you studied the Cash Landrum case so extensively. You have some questions for Colin?
There are so many. In fact, I'm wondering if this needs to be a two-part show. But one thing I think we should mention is we talked about OSAP, but I don't think we ever defined it. So it stood for Advanced Aerospace Weapons Systems Application Program. Now, that makes me think the military purpose in this was to develop weapons. So Colin, what interested them about Skinwalker and the paranormal aspect? I mean, you mentioned the UFOs, but so what was it they were looking for and hoped to get out of it?
Well, the original intent from the DIA perspective was to analyze the technology that was encountered around Skinwalker Ranch, but also throughout the United States under the rubric of UAPs, to analyze that from a threat perspective, to see if the technology was considered a threat to national security. Secondly, the intent was also to study the performance of this technology and to see if the technology was worthy of either advanced physics or translating that into advanced engineering. But the genesis of the DIA program was an interest in the technology that was being deployed.
And so the human effects, now, you mentioned the sensors that you had and the fact there were animals. Okay, well, I did want to ask about the sensor, but that reminds me, the data that you gathered, and we spoke recently to Jacques Vallée was on the show, and he talked about the work that he did for the program very briefly. He mentioned that there was a data warehouse or data, he mentioned Project Capella. So can you tell us about the kind of data that you collected and, you know, what format was that?
Yeah, the Capella data warehouse was actually what Jacques Vallée and his group, I suppose, were contracted by OSAP BAS in order to design and execute what he called a data warehouse. Data warehouse was essentially an amalgam of 11 separate databases on UFOs that were under one roof. And the idea was that to incorporate all of the physical characteristics of UFOs into this database, but also incorporate, as I mentioned, all of the human effects. So the data warehouse was an amalgam of multiple different levels of analysis that had to be undergone in order to complete what Jacques Vallée had designed. And it was actually a very intricate, very large database that occurred. And it had six separate levels. And the purpose of this was to make sure that not only UFO performance was documented, but also the effects of UFOs on humans. So things like psychological effects were documented, physiological effects, and then even effects on what we would call paranormal activity in the environment of people. And, you know, I have to emphasize that one of the, I think, breakthroughs that OSAP made was the discovery that in order to get the kind of psychic and psychological and paranormal effects into the database, you had to really follow these people for not a couple of weekends, but for weeks and months and sometimes years. And so you obviously need a lot of resources in order to accomplish that. And that was the real beauty of the OSAP program. We had the resources, we had the personnel, and we were able to follow, in some cases, these medical injury cases over several months, if not years. So the data warehouse was the endpoint in all of what we were doing. Everything that was done was documented and input into these multiple different databases that collectively was called the data warehouse.
Did you determine at all how close you had to come to a UFO to suffer from any of these effects?
We didn't have enough data. We didn't have enough cases to determine distance, you know, whether, you know, people were at 100 yards away or 150 yards away. But we did document that in some cases, you know, people were at a distance and still got injured. So we didn't come down with a specific distance, but we did document multiple injury cases, and all of those cases were inserted into the database. Now, the data warehouse also, as I'm sure Jacques Vallée had talked about, was comprised of a whole bunch of different sources of information, including military pilot sources and you know, civilian pilot sources. There was the full database that had been created during the years of the National Institute for Discovery Science, which occurred between 1996 and 2002. That entire database was utilized in the OSAP data warehouse. And we're talking somewhere less than 2,000 cases, but they had been well analyzed and well investigated. So part of what was being done during the data warehouse program was we hired about 10 separate individuals. Some of them were program managers. Some of them were data analyst people. Some of them were computer science people. Some of them were translators, because we were looking at cases in France and cases in Brazil, cases in Russia or in Soviet Union. So collectively, we had about 10 people working full time on this database for the 2-year duration. So it was a pretty massive project, and it was, we believe that it was a very, very good beginning for a pretty good analytical database of UFO performance and UFO effects.
Okay, this ends in 2010. What happens from there?
It ended in 2010. All of the database in both electronic format and other formats were delivered to the Defense Intelligence Agency. All of the different reports that had been done, all of the investigations were summarized both electronically and in paper copy. All of those were delivered to the Defense Intelligence Agency. So all 100 plus reports are still sitting in the Defense Intelligence Agency. All of them were delivered before December of 2010.
Oh, we need to talk about that. So when Senator John McCain, as part of his committee, asked the Defense Intelligence Agency to list all the products, you know, everything that ATIP produced, they produced the list of the 38 studies that are the Defense Intelligence Research documents, and that was all. And first of all, they credited that to the Pentagon, considers ATIP OSAP for whatever reason. They don't differentiate them, and probably because Senator Reid's letter. But yeah, you mentioned that there's over 100, so can you speculate why they would only list those 38 of all those other reports?
Yeah, I think what happened was the ATIP OSAP mix-up has carried on through into the Pentagon, and the 38 papers, what you mentioned, the DIRDs, were actually OSAP products. They had nothing to do with ATIP. So, but even from the get-go, a fundamental mischaracterization had occurred in the defense, you know, the DOD. So the Pentagon actually mixed up the names themselves, probably because they were reading the media out in the open literature, and they mixed it up completely. The 38 DIRDs were OSAP products. They were delivered to Defense Intelligence Agency as OSAP products, and they're listed in Appendix 1 of our book, As Awesome Products.
Colm and Gene and Kurt, you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So until this book came out here, Colm Kelleher, the book entitled Skinwalkers at the Pentagon, an insider's account of the government's secret UFO program, basically, none of this stuff had been revealed at all. Now, the Pentagon UAP task force that we all heard about, it mentions, of course, nothing about physiological effects at all. Now, Where did that come out of?
Well, there's a long history of the small unit located at the Pentagon that called itself ATIP in the sort of 2015 to 2017 era. Lou Elizondo then emerged at the end of 2017 and with the New York Times article. So a lot of the genesis of the UAPTF, the so-called task force, was as a result of a lot of input from the original OSAP program, aided and abetted by what was going on in this small Pentagon unit that was later called ATIP. But a lot of the expertise that was associated with the UAP task force, and I'm talking about the first generation UAP task force, before it actually became public, all of those people, or a lot of those people, especially the leadership, had worked in the OSAP program back in 2008 to 2010. But the UAPTF has gone through, you know, several iterations. Leadership has changed. Some of the personnel have left. Some new personnel have come in. But the UAPTF does have a lot of the origins in the OSAP program. And, you know, one of the interesting things that we recently found out is that this massive Capella database, data warehouse, that was generated as a deliverable during the OSAP era is actually being used by the UAPTF. And we know that it's considered quite a useful resource because it has so many components. It's very, very modular, and it's very easy to layer an interrogatory layer on top of the data warehouse that was created during the OSAP program. And we've had sort of straws in the wind, you know, chatting with people in the last couple of years to indicate that the OSAP database is actually a very useful tool.
And another question about the program. I think there's some things that you probably want to tell us that we haven't asked about. But so one thing, though, we were talking about Luis Elizondo, and of course, the story broke in relation to the promotion of the organization to the STARS Academy. And you're briefly linked with that. So can you tell us what you were doing and what your role was there?
I had a lot of interactions with the membership of TTSA just after it was formed. My background is in biochemistry and cell biology and biotechnology. So they were looking for people to be on their science advisory board who had expertise in different fields, including biological and biochemical. So I agreed to join the TTSA organization as a sort of biotech advisor, so to speak. And I did interact with some of the membership of TTSA during the, you know, the early times when it was first launched.
So what happened with that? It seems like people left and the organization technically still exists, but...
Yeah, my understanding, because I bowed out quite a while ago, but my understanding is that the different priorities that were under the general TTSA umbrella were sort of getting too unlike each other in order to be, you know, fundamentally part of the same organization. So I think the different priorities just were not able to meld, and they essentially disintegrated.
Well, one other question was, now there was some personnel, there was some overlap from, now NIDS we talked about earlier, that was National Institute of Discovery Science, that was created and funded by Robert Bigelow, and of course BAS was Bigelow Aerospace Advanced Studies, so he was through this, and some of his same personnel, yourself included.
Right.
Was there a relationship between these organizations and To the STARS because some of the same people were involved?
The answer to that is no. There was no relationship between BAS or the people that came out of BAS and TTSA. I joined, as like I said, as a science advisory capacity. Robert Bigelow had no relationship at all with TTSA. I know that Hal Puthoff had been a member of the NID Science Advisory Board during the 1996 to 2004 era. He was also a founding member, or certainly a very close-knit member of TTSA, but that was the extent of the overlap. There was really no sort of back and forth between you know, the old people at BAS and TTSA.
And, well, so we have lots more questions for you, but what have we not touched on that's important from your new book? What would you like to tell us about that?
Well, I guess, you know, one of the, I would say, probably the most famous UFO case in the world is the so-called Tic Tac case, you know, and the case where multiple F-18 pilots and multiple sensors on the USS Nimitz carrier strike group were involved in this very sort of in-your-face close encounter with this this strange-looking non-aerodynamic-looking object. So the OSAP program actually was the program that first started investigating this Tic Tac case all the way back in 2008. And the, how it came to happen was I was recruited by Robert Bigelow to be essentially the program manager of the OSAP program in Las Vegas. And so my initial task was to start hiring people as fast as possible because we needed to get this program off the ground. So over the span of probably 4 months between November of 2008 and April of 2009, I conducted about 300 separate interviews for different people, everything from military intelligence people to investigators to PhD level scientists, master's degree scientists, engineers, you know, physicists, biologists, security officers. And so the first hire I made actually was an F-18 pilot who walked in the door, and he had the perfect credentials for a program manager.
Colm and Gene and Kurt, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Starting Monday, the Biden administration is closing America's borders to travelers from 8 African nations, hoping to slow the spread of a new and concerning COVID variant. The White House and the CDC say no cases of that variant have yet been identified in the United States, though Dr. Anthony Fauci says it's likely already here. Meanwhile, Israel is banning all foreigners from entering that country as part of its effort to stem the spread of the new Omicron Omicron variant. Those new restrictions kick in at midnight Sunday, just after the start of Hanukkah. They're expected to last for at least 14 days. L.A. area seeing another case of a mob of masked thieves looting a retail store, this time a Home Depot in L.A. County. This man works there, says he tried to stop them.
We closed the front entrance, and they put their sledgehammers up. Like, whoever got in the way, they were going to hurt them.
USA Radio News. Police in Beverly Hills are dealing with a standoff situation involving at least one suspect currently in a van. Officers responded to the call after 6 p.m. local time about a van driver acting suspiciously near Wilshire Boulevard and Spalding, and the driver left the scene as officers approached, but they ended up blocking an intersection, and he's now been stopped, and a SWAT and bomb squad remain on the scene. A tragic story out of Minnesota where a 5-year-old boy is dead, accidentally shot, according to police, killed when a group of teens found a rifle in a garage. They decided they'd make a video for social media where they were using the rifle, but without intending to hurt anyone, police say the teenager, a 13-year-old, was handling the gun, and it went off, fatally shooting the 5-year-old in the head. It was canceled last year because of the pandemic, but the annual Hollywood Christmas Parade is coming up tonight. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
So you're telling us here, Colin Kelleher, about the hiring process.
Within 10 minutes of this interview for this program manager, because we needed to hire some senior people, this F-18 pilot came in. He very well qualified, so I had made the decision to hire him pretty well immediately. At the very end of the interview, he said, "Oh, by the way, you know, I'm an F-18 pilot. I was involved in the USS Nimitz," and he kind of went through the whole case of how he and other F-18 pilots had been vectored to this unusual UAP that had been associated with the carrier strike group, the Nimitz carrier strike group off the coast of San Diego back in 2004. So this program manager, who I had already hired, dropped this bombshell on me at the end of the interview. So the first thing I did was I called Dr. Lukatsky at Defense Intelligence Agency and said, "Look, we should investigate this case." So Lukatsky called Axelrod, who was in the book, as the main investigator of the Tic Tac case. And so lo and behold, Axelrod sort of launched a really thorough investigation in early 2009 that took several months. He interviewed all of the pilots of the F-18s that had interacted with the Tic Tac. He also interviewed a lot of the radar operators on the USS Princeton that had been involved in the incident. And so by mid to late 2009, Axelrod and his team had put together a pretty comprehensive report on the Tic Tac incident. And that report is actually one of the 100-plus reports that were delivered to the Defense Intelligence Agency as a part of this OSAP program. So, you know, 8 years later, we come around and the New York Times breaks this article, and suddenly the public gets to hear about these F-18 incidents. But those incidents would never have seen the light of day except for the OSAP program. It was fundamental sort of major investigation that occurred in the OSAP, during the OSAP program.
I have a very interesting question here. With the Tic Tac sightings, we've covered them extensively in the PowerCast. Any of the personnel, I don't know if you can even tell us, any of the personnel suffer from some of those physiological effects?
Well, I mean, there are two parts to this answer, I guess. Number one is I would not be able to divulge that because of the agreements that we had under the Dobser Act, you know, the Dobser agreement to release this book, because any medical effects would not be reportable in this situation. Secondly, for any of the Tic Tac pilots to actually report physiological effects would be essentially career suicide, because anybody who reports anything like that in terms of physiological, pathological, psychological effects is automatically grounded. They're not able to fly anymore. They're subjected to psychological examinations. So any Tic Tac pilot that would ever report this would be out of their minds, because it would be terminating their career and probably actually undermining their security clearances. So I would say the chances of a Tic Tac pilot actually reporting that would be slim to none.
You would think, though, that if they suffered serious effects, it would impact their careers anyway. Wouldn't their doctors want to know, how did you get this? Where were you?
Yeah, that is the case. But, you know, as I mentioned, what's in the book regarding that case is as far as I'm allowed to go. I'm still operating under a couple of non-disclosure agreements.
Well, can we go back to Skinwalker Ranch for just a moment? Because, of course, that's in the title of the book, and it's how this all got started. So were there investigations at the time that the program started, or were they active? And then afterwards, what did the military or OSAP, what new things did you set up there?
Well, we deployed a lot of sensors on the property. We had electromagnetic radiation detectors. We had radio frequency detectors, multiple different frequencies. We had optical sensors. We had acoustic sensors. We had obviously a lot of round the clock surveillance, and we also had a lot of portable sensors that people could take out in the field on Skinwalker Ranch and measure things like 35 separate elements in the soil just by you know, rapid analysis. So we had a lot of technology. We had a lot of sensors. We also had Generation 3 night vision technology. We had infrared heat signature technology. So we deployed a lot of different sensors on the Skinwalker Ranch. But one of the really striking findings that we found was that during the course of these interactions with Washington, D.C., we had five separate individuals from different intelligence agencies and military people deploy on the property at different times to reconnoiter and to evaluate sensor activity and also future sensor placements. And all five of those individuals, five out of five, 100% of those individuals had interactions with the so-called paranormal on Skinwalker Ranch. And not only that, once they flew back to their homes on the East Coast, whether it be in Virginia or in Washington, D.C., all of them brought something home with them. In other words, once they got into their homes, their families in the homes started experiencing a lot of strange humanoid black shadows in their houses, poltergeist activity, strange orbs flying around the home. Some of the kids started getting injured through orb activity. And the really strange thing that occurred was that not only did the family members experience this strange activity that erupted immediately after, you know, the person got home, but also neighbors and school friends started reporting bizarre activity in their homes, you know, seeing strange creatures outside or seeing, quote unquote, blue orbs flying around in their houses and outside their houses. So the long and the short of what we found with the military contingent that were on Skinwalker Ranch was that 100% of them brought something home with them. And so, you know, this terminology has sort of now entered the vernacular where the hitchhiker effect is used as a descriptor of the activity. But we found that that was the case in many, many situations. Not only those five military personnel had this effect, but also multiple, we had round the clock security officers on the property that were there to discourage trespassers. A lot of those security officers also brought stuff home with them. So this so-called hitchhiker effect is described very closely in the book. And one of the, you know, one of the hypotheses that we put out was that, you know, this hitchhiker effect had some of the overlaps of an infectious organism. It behaved like an infectious organism. In other words, the person on Skinwalker Ranch or elsewhere who would first contract this would bring something into their own homes, and their spouse or their children would start, you know, seeing all this stuff in their homes, and then it would go out into the neighborhood or into the local school, and kids and the school friends and neighbors would start experiencing this.
Colm Kelleher is telling us basically the UFOs may be dangerous to your health. With Gene and Kurt, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
It may feel like age is just a number, but the fact is, even if you're healthy and active, your immune system weakens as you get older. And if you're 65 or older, you're at an increased risk for potentially serious illnesses like pneumococcal pneumonia. One way to help protect yourself is to get immunized against vaccine-preventable diseases like pneumococcal pneumonia. Dr. Jorge Gomez shares more on behalf of the American Lung Association.
Pneumococcal pneumonia is a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can disrupt your life for weeks. Adults 65 or older are over 10 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults 18 to 49. You may also be at increased risk if you have certain chronic health conditions such as asthma, diabetes, or heart disease. If you're 65 or older, vaccination can help prevent pneumococcal pneumonia.
This flu season, visit lung.org/pneumococcal and talk to your doctor or pharmacist about pneumococcal vaccination.
I represent low-cost airlines, and we know a lot of you are not traveling right now, and we understand. However, if you do need to travel between now and the end of the year, now is a great time to lock in some of the lowest prices we've seen in a lifetime. Hey, in normal times, we can save you up to 75%, but now airlines are practically giving away seats. We have inside deals on over 500 airlines. Here are a few sample round-trip deals we found. Seattle to Vegas, $35. Chicago to Atlanta, $85. Los Angeles to Atlanta, $100. Of course, there are some limitations, but the airlines want your business right now. And cancellation and change fees are flexible. So fly somewhere this year, book now, save a ton, call right now.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, this is Joshua P. Warren, author of The Poor Man's Paranormal, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So we continue with that, Colm Kelleher. You're telling me here that it's almost like a contagious disease. Does that say that maybe a lot of the phenomena that's been reported is something mental, that they suffer from this disease and it creates hallucinations?
Well, that would be the case, except that in many of the cases that we looked at, there were also physical effects in the home. For example, in one of the homes, several wine bottles flew off the shelves and slammed into the wall and broke in the kitchen. In another case, there was a weird creature outside the home near a tree, and the family came out the next morning and there were claw marks all over the tree, as if some animal had clawed on the tree. There were several instances where there were actual physical effects. One of the teenagers in one of the homes that experienced this woke up with a whole bunch of really bad red welts and bruises on his body and had to be his mother had to bring him into the medical facility to get him looked at after a night of these interactions with orbs following, something that had happened on the ranch. So these were not just kind of hallucinations. They were happening in a very physical way in the homes of these individuals.
I realize from here that you can't tell us what happened with the naval personnel that saw the UFOs. But from the way you're saying it, I kind of have a feeling here you may already be telling us in some way. But strictly speaking here, this creates a whole new picture that we've got here, a phenomenon that can cause physical effects, mental effects, cause people to maybe go crazy. As a result of this, we have all this physical phenomena. And one of the big criticisms we make of UFO organizations is they look at the sighting as a separate thing. Here it is. We see something like you see an airplane, except that's a strange kind of flying thing. And they never go into this other aspect of it, which is possible physical effects.
Exactly. I think you've summarized it really well. I mean, one of the main lessons learned from the OSAP program was that you cannot just go and interview a witness for a weekend and say, okay, well, what did the craft look like? what was the propulsion system look like? What was the performance like? And then you just go home after the case. What we found in the OSAP program is that if you spend, you know, weeks and sometimes months and in a couple of cases years with these people, and you get them to open up to, you know, they get to trust you. Over time, you know, you monitor their medical condition over time. But during that period of time, you know, that they do have these after effects of the close encounters. And that those after effects are very meaningful to a lot of these people. I'm not saying this happens in 100% of the cases. I'm saying that in the cases that we followed over many months and in some cases years, it was very obvious that it happened. And I should also mention that this effect, this so-called hitchhiker effect, was not just confined to Skinwalker Ranch. You know, for example, the case that I mentioned earlier where the individual was subjected to these blue objects that entered the car and one of them entered his body. Well, it turns out that his daughter was, you know, in Oregon, back home from college on the East Coast. She went back to her household in Connecticut, I believe it was, to go back to college. And all of her roommates experienced these strange effects that suddenly erupted in their house. They were hearing strange noises in the house. Doors would slam. They'd hear footsteps on the stairs. They'd wake up and there'd be these humanoid-looking creatures standing over their beds. There was a whole lot of these activities that happened after this effect. And these individuals had been nowhere near Skinwalker Ranch. But again, the bottom line in this whole thing is that if you carry these investigations over many months instead of just a couple of weekends, you will unearth these human effects that are long-lasting, and they do have dramatic effects on the lives of these people.
We're talking here almost like a contagious disease then.
It certainly has. It has some overlap with what a contagious disease, how a contagious disease would operate. You know, I have a background in studying viruses, and yeah, I kind of recognize the overlaps pretty quickly because, you know, you've got the primary case, for example, on Skinwalker Ranch, the primary person's so-called infected brings the organism or whatever it is back to his family. His family start displaying symptoms, and then friends of the kids start displaying symptoms, and neighbors start displaying symptoms. So it does behave as if there's an infectious process going on. And, you know, as somebody who has studied viruses, it's very intriguing to me in a future study of the UFO topic, would there be sufficient resources allocated to doing these kinds of long-term, many months and sometimes years follow-up on people? And if you had sufficient number of people, you know, beyond the small number of people that were studied during the OSAP program, if you had sufficient number of people that were being studied, you might actually get some interesting data out of that.
This almost may be an alien virus of some sort, even though it has effects that we can't imagine. Maybe it interacts with parts of our brain that we don't understand.
Well, yeah. I mean, I would say that the number of cases that we've looked at are too small. But you know, from the OSAP study, the effects and the dynamics of what happened in this so-called hitchhiker effect are definitely worth studying on a much larger group of people. You know, I think the biology and the psychology should be really closely looked at. And I think that was one of the lessons learned that we took out of the OSAP program. You know, we've got to study these people over long periods of time as opposed to just looking at the nuts and bolts performance of these craft.
Now, of course, we're taking it back to what's going on now with this latest iteration of the Pentagon UFO research musical chairs. Of course, they don't mention anything about physical effects. And the question I would have here is, do they dare? Because I think if they mention something like that, you could cause a panic. People could say, well, E.T. is invading us and causing all this to happen.
Well, you know, one of the really interesting things that that I found that came out of Senator Kirsten Gillibrand's amendment to the Defense Authorization Act, which I believe is going to be passed sometime after Thanksgiving. But she wrote up this amendment, you know, to set up this task force as part of the Pentagon thing. And, you know, she in the amendment, she used words like conducting field investigations. She used words like adverse physiological effects should be studied. You know, she also used health-related effects. Those, the wording in the Gillibrand Amendment, in my opinion, went far beyond anything in terms of sophistication that would be sort of possible in the Pentagon view of studying UFOs. So I was quite surprised to see that language in the amendment. I'm hoping that the amendment will survive in the National Defense Authorization Act, which will eventually hopefully be passed sometime in the next couple of months. Because if that amendment makes it in and becomes law, it's going to be a really interesting scenario where maybe things like human effects might actually be studied. And that's something, frankly, that even 3 months ago I would never have suspected.
I've read some material that suggests that the senators are getting some pretty good information on this. Are you aware of any activists or lobbyists that are providing with some UFO and paranormal information to support what the project might be comprised of?
How about we hold that question to our next segment because we've got to do our break? But it's something that will take a while for you to answer, so I think that's the fairest way to treat it. Again, the book is called Skinwalkers at the Pentagon, an insider's account of the government's secret UFO program. Our guest is one of the co-authors, Colm Kelleher. First time on the Paracast, but as you see, got a lot more to talk about with Gene and Kurt. You're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Classic science fiction at its best. Available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
It may feel like age is just a number, but the fact is, even if you're healthy and active, your immune system weakens as you get older. And if you're 65 or older, you're at an increased risk for potentially serious illnesses like pneumococcal pneumonia. One way to help protect yourself is to get immunized against vaccine-preventable diseases like pneumococcal pneumonia. Dr. Jorge Gomez shares more on behalf of the American Lung Association.
Pneumococcal pneumonia is a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can disrupt your life for weeks. Adults 65 or older are over 10 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults 18 to 49. You may also be at increased risk if you have certain chronic health conditions such as asthma, diabetes, or heart disease. If you're 65 or older, vaccination can help prevent pneumococcal pneumonia.
This flu season, visit lung.org/pneumococcal and talk to your doctor or pharmacist about pneumococcal vaccination.